Hi, Dave.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, Dave, do we curse on this podcast?
Yes, Eric. Yes, we do.
Hey, guys, this is the $1,000 Broski, the Michael Jordan of wrestling figure collecting, Matt Cardona, and you're listening to the Major Wrestling... Wait, what? This is Adventures in Collecting? Is this the bootleg Major Wrestling Figure podcast? Are you serious, bro? Enjoy the show.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your sleigh. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast. Ho, 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 ho.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors. Happy holidays, everybody.
Hey.
We're back.
Yes, we are. I was here last episode too, but you're back.
Yes, I'm back. Happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah.
Welcome to Adventures in Collecting, our special holiday edition. This will be airing today is the 23rd. So happy Hanukkah, first and foremost. Christmas is right around the corner, and we had a special guest in our intro.
Yeah, what a holiday miracle. We had Santa. Santa was there.
Yes, but who else was there, Dave?
Oh, well, of course. Much thanks to Matt Cardona of the Major Wrestling Figure podcast for that intro. Very cool to hear from Broski. Yeah.
Yeah, and we love scratching that figure itch.
So. Yeah, so and I've been letting him breathe lately.
Finally.
Right. Yeah. No, but seriously, super, super big thanks to Matt Cardona, and of course to friend of the program, Giancarlo. So,
yes, thank you to both of them. And Santa Claus was being portrayed in the beginning there by
Santa Claus.
Sure, Santa Claus. We'll stick with that.
Read the show notes.
Read the show notes. So before we jump into the...
Also, thank you to our friend of the program, Joe Azari, for having that word with Santa Claus.
So before we jump into today's holiday topic, which is going to be Ghosts of Christmas Past, Dave and I are going to take you through... some of our, one moment each from our childhood of Christmas morning and like a toy that was really, really important to us or a really good memory of a toy like that. Before we hop into that, of course, we're going to do the news and hauls, but we need to address the elephant in the room, which is the Rise of Skywalker. We are recording this on Friday the 20th, and at this point, I have seen it twice.
I have seen it once, because I have.
And, it's still really early. It's only going to be the first weekend, and I know there's a whole lot of people that are not going to have a chance to see it for work and, travel obligations and everything. So, no spoilers here. We're not going to talk about anything that happened in the movie, but just, a quick top line. I really enjoyed it. Talking Star Wars critique with me is very difficult because I'm a little bit of a homer for all of them. The books, the comics, the TV shows. But I really enjoyed it, and I'm really excited for some of the potential action figures that could come out of this movie.
Yeah.
There are some really cool moments, variations of things. I'm very excited. I'm very satisfied with the end.
It was very fun. I enjoyed the movie a lot. Yes, there are a couple of things that I didn't love wholeheartedly. But I would say I would not tell somebody that I didn't like it. Like, I really enjoyed the movie. It was a lot of fun. There was a point where I was like, oh, they might lose me here. And then, it was redeemed. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
So, I think overall, both of us are saying, go see it. If you're a Star Wars
go
fan,
see it.
Go see it. So to hop into news, just some really cool things that, that happened in between the last episode and this episode. Hasbro released some glam shots of the upcoming Cosmic Ghost Rider and Squirrel Girl for the Marvel Legends line that we had mentioned. We post the pictures on our Instagram, which, by the way, if you're not following us yet there, it's at AIC underscore podcast. The shots look awesome. I'm not super familiar with Cosmic Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider has never really been my wheelhouse, but it looks really cool. Don't know a whole lot about the character, but yeah, he looks awesome. And the Squirrel Girl, of course, looks awesome. Comes with the moped. Speaking of the Major Wrestling Figure podcast, they had a limited release of Remco style action figures on Ringside. That sold out in just a few minutes.
Yeah. I think the timing from official release, not pre-release, was 23.
Yeah. I mean, they're super cool figures. They did a really cool commercial, like 80s, 90s style commercial for it, which was really awesome. They're those classic Remco, AWA,
yeah,
style figures, with Lucha masks, and you know, they look really cool.
Yeah, I was fortunate to be able to order one.
The other limited thing that happened the other day, for those that follow what Funko is doing, with their kind of pop-up shop website, you know, they have those random drops where they kind of announce them on social media. There's been a lot of talk about some of the recent ones not selling out. You know, they're either producing too many of them, you know, whatever anybody has to say about it. But they put out a $100 18-inch Adam West style Batman pop that sold out in less than 2 minutes. I believe there were only 700 of them produced. So I don't know whether that was a reaction to some of the fan response to, you know, how that process has been going or not, but you know, still showed that even with a product with a pretty big price tag on it, that, you know, if it's a limited quantity item from them, it's gonna go. And honestly, it is a cool looking pop. I actually tried to get it for myself.
I don't. 18 inches is a lot.
I there's just something about, like, I love the Adam West Batman.
The cowl is
yeah, cool. With like the lines on the eyes and stuff, like just the way that that's designed. I tried to get it, I couldn't. So, but for news, that's all I got.
I mean, that's pretty much it. Ringside is shipping. Ringside Collectibles is shipping the just got the email notification that the Jushin Thunder Liger Storm Collectibles is in stock. So hopefully that means that all retailers will be getting that soon, because that's a phenomenal figure.
And is that like the, because I know Super 7 was doing New Japan figures too, right?
Yeah, I think there's a difference. And I think we talked about this when it was announced that the licensing is different, because Jushin Thunder Liger is a manga character first.
Yes. But in scale wise, they're going to scale with the
same scale.
Okay, cool. Did you have any other news?
That's all I got. Slow heading into the holidays.
Yep, usually the case. Hauls wise, I got a couple of the things that I ordered on Cyber Monday. Finally came in. I was able to get the Captain America and Peggy Carter 2-pack, which I was really excited about. Agent Carter, Peggy Carter. She's one of my favorite characters in the MCU, and the Haley Atwell sculpt and face print on her is just, it's incredible. It's one of my favorite ones. I was also able to pick up something I did not think I was going to get. I actually should have gotten it today, but unfortunately, the Walmart that I shipped to store was closed because the power went out. So I've checked the FedEx tracking and it's sitting there. They haven't sent me the email to pick up yet, but they marked down the Jabba's Palace playset, the vintage collection one, to $25. And it comes with two carded vintage collection figures along with the actual playset. And at $25, I could not pass that up, because directly to the left of me here, one of my display cubes is permanently Return of the Jedi. So I'm going to zhuzh some things up there, but we'll do, once I get that in, we'll do an unboxing of it, and I'll take pictures of it set up with all the other figures. I'm very excited to get that. But that's pretty much been my hauls.
I got 4 weeks worth because, you know, we're going back to a couple episodes ago that I've been just kind of writing stuff down, and good Lord, am I an embarrassment.
Why don't you keep it tidy it up a little bit? Just kind of like lump some shit together.
Yeah. So one of the things I got was I picked up the Amazon exclusive Micromaniacs battle game on because it comes with two extra figures.
So now you have two of the rings.
I returned the other one.
Okay.
But the standard one that you'll see in the store is Braun Strowman and Finn Balor. The Amazon one came with a repaint of Daniel Bryan and a repaint of the Macho Man.
Oh yeah.
So that was cool. Then I picked up a couple of other just kind of things. Like I got the Survivor Series Walmart exclusive Jeff Hardy and Don Morocco, which was neat. I also picked up the Diamond Dallas Page Elite. I picked up the Bash at the Beach Network Spotlight 3-pack. I found a Carl Anderson Elite, which now I have to find Luke Gallows, which apparently is difficult. I found... So Series 72 and 73 of Elites are starting to make it out to stores, which is cool. I found the Series 72 Rey Mysterio, which is the one I was looking for. And then Ringside Collectibles had their annual Black Friday, Cyber Monday, like, Incredisale. I called it Incredisale. They can use that next year if they want. But I went kind of bonkers. I got the Dude Love Elite, which I believe was Elite 62. I got the Elite 63 Sami Zayn, Elite 65 Rusev. I got the Shayna Baszler Elite, Elite 67 Velveteen Dream. I got the Cedric Alexander Elite. I got WrestleMania 35 Scott Hall, last year's Survivor Series Bobby Roode. I got a Drew Gulak Basic, Elite 66 Kurt Angle. I got the Nia Jax Elite. I got the ECW, but the WWE version of ECW, Matt Hardy Elite, which is a Ringside exclusive. And the Brian Kendrick, like the Brian Kendrick, WWE Ringside exclusive Elite. So there were some insane deals going on. They were blowing out some stuff, so I definitely picked up stuff that I was looking for that I had been holding off on, and finally picked it up.
Oh, that reminds me. Speaking of blowing stuff out, I did get two other things. I spent a grand total of $14 on the Hasbro Toy Shop's eBay page. They have an eBay store, like an official eBay store. I got the Black Series First Order Riot Baton, normally $200, for $9. And I got the my co-pilot Chewy, that like for real pets Chewy, for $4. And the latter of which will be a Christmas gift for Maddie. But they had some ridiculous, like, crazy blowout sales on their eBay page. The Mace Windu Black Series lights, the Force FX Black Series lightsaber, the Obi-Wan Episode 1. I couldn't pull the trigger fast enough on those. They sold out before I could get them. But even, like, the Darth Maul sabers, where if you buy the two of them, you can screw them together. They had them all for, like, $9 a piece. And they had, as far as I can tell, everybody that ordered them got them. Like, nobody had their orders canceled or anything. It was, I don't know whether it was a mistake that they just flew with or whatever, but I've now been, you know, pretty consistently going back and checking the Hasbro Toy Shop eBay page.
I mean, from the sounds of that warehouse sale, it doesn't sound like it was on accident.
And then that's the other thing. So that warehouse sale, so that was on, I want to say, like, a Thursday, Friday, the weird eBay blowout thing. And then the following Tuesday, Wednesday in their warehouse in Pennsylvania, they had a 2-day sale. You had to go in person, no cash. You could only pay credit. And they had crazy discounts. I mean, they had like current run Black Series figures for like $5. They had some of the Black Series wearables, like the props, the Stormtrooper helmets, things like that for like $10-$20. It was crazy. Unfortunately, I didn't get to go. It was just far enough away from us where I couldn't, you know, sneak away after work. It would have been a 6-hour ordeal at least for me. And during the week, that's just not doable. The other thing that I completely forgot to mention, as Dave was mentioning blowouts, I cannot caution more about making offers on things on eBay, because I got handcuffed to one. I'm glad I got it, but I spent a little more than I wanted to. I picked up the M'Baku Build-A-Figure for $40. So, you know,
it's fair.
Not too bad. You know, I don't want that whole wave, and I have the figures that I have from the wave already that I had bought at toy shows and things like that that I had already gotten, you know, far less than retail.
Yeah, that was one I've been telling you need for a long time, too.
And he's really good.
It's such a good... It should have been a standard series figure.
Yeah.
It's really good.
They did such a nice job on not just... I mean, the faces at this point, saying that the Marvel Legends figures have great faces is kind of redundant, but they did such a nice job on his... the texture of his clothes. He has so many, like, layers on, and... they just, the way that they're sculpted, they don't inhibit his movement. Like he looks fantastic. I don't have him out at the moment, but, yeah, he looks great. So that's news.
Well, that's not news. That's, yeah. I actually have another, we have another segment.
Oh, that's right.
And I have, clues.
Oh shit. Yeah, let's...
It's time to guess that toy, Eric.
All right. Cue the music.
Is it guess that toy? Is that what we called it? I forget
what we called it. Hang on, let's look it up real quick so we can get it right.
Nah, who cares? Let's guess that toy this week.
Guess that toy. All right. So if you don't remember the rules, I forgot that we had a game.
after I did all this stuff. I did prep.
So Dave, so last time we did this, the toy was Captain
Power and the Soldiers of the Future.
Dave is going to read me...
I have 8 clues.
Okay, so Dave is going to read me clues, and I'm assuming you did it, you structured it the way that I did, so like the clues get more broader as they go on.
Oh, you mean they get more narrow as they go on?
Yes, they get more narrow.
Yeah. Because this first clue couldn't be more broad.
Okay. So they get narrower as it goes along. If I can't get it after the clues that Dave gives me, I lose. Right now Dave is winning 1-0. I lose, and then we will flip it to you guys on social media. We'll put it up on Instagram, and if you get it, we'll figure out something. I have some, you know what? I actually have some really cool buttons that they gave away at the Toys R Us store opening at Garden State Plaza that mm-hmm. I've been hanging on to. Maybe we can send you a button. I don't know. We'll mention you on social media. We'll figure out something.
I'll even give you a 9th clue that I didn't write down, but I think you're going to get this.
All right. So without further ado, name that toy. That's what it was. Name that toy.
Name that toy.
Cue the music.
Guess that toy. It's a toy. All right. So clue number 1, are you ready?
I'm ready, Dave.
The first clue is it was created by the company AmToy, owned by greeting card company American Greetings.
All I remember from American Greetings is when Mom used to work for them.
Keep going. clue number 2. It's currently in its second revival, produced by Just Play Inc.
Woof. Next.
Had 2 straight-to-video cartoon releases at the height of its popularity.
I'm just going to take a guess. It's not Care Bears, is it?
It's not Care Bears.
Okay.
had a short-lived comic published by Marvel, and it was under their kids line at the time.
Keep going.
I think this next one is the giveaway. Was originally a popular foam gross-out toy in the 1980s.
Foam gross-out toy. Garbage Pail Kids?
That is incorrect.
Foam gross-out toy.
Spawned a series of copycat toys in the same genre.
I don't know. Keep going.
Really? Okay. I didn't think we'd get this far. Are these bad clues or are they good clues?
I mean, they're good clues. You're stumping me. I can't think of what it is.
Oh, okay. Only survived its initial run for two series and had a larger sports-related super series.
Are these those balls with the faces on them? Mad balls?
Yes.
All right. That one gave it away, the sports one, because I remember the big football size.
They had
ones.
A football one. Yep. And then the last clue was Kid Robot has made a series based on licensed horror characters as well as reproductions of the original series.
Yeah, and they aren't they doing something with Mondo? Or they were at MondoCon or something?
There's been a lot of... So those aren't, quote-unquote, part of the revivals.
Okay.
But they're, like, licensed reproductions.
Yeah. Madballs were fun. I remember those.
And what I forgot about, because I had Madballs as what I was going to do from when you told me I have to do one for this episode.
Okay.
I forgot Yuma and I talked about them.
Oh. You know what? Your clues were so abstract that my brain didn't even go there. You had the...
Clue number 9 was going to be, this was discussed by Yuma and I on last week's episode.
You...
Briefly.
You threw me into a direction that I was not thinking Madballs because I did not know the history of the American Greetings connection there.
I actually had no idea.
So that, like, it completely sidetracked me, mindset-wise.
I had known the Kid Robot repros, but...
Yeah.
And then the horror-themed ones. I almost was going to get one as, like, the prize for you, which would have been the prize for whoever answered it, in all honesty. But,
oh, man, yeah. I should have gone back to Mom's house and dug up the Captain Power figures. That could have been your prize.
Here are your own toys.
Here are your toys. I went downstairs and found them. All right, so we're tied. 1-1-1.
1-1.
All right.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you almost. I was surprised we went that far. I thought the popular gross out toy was going to get you there.
Well, that's why I was thinking American Greetings. I remember there was Garbage Pail Kids.
Was Tops.
Yeah, but that was Tops. Yeah.
And they were just cards, or eventually maybe figures.
I thought they had toys.
I know some of their toys were more recent.
Okay. Yeah. Well, tied 1-1.
Yeah, that was a good one.
All right. Well done, Dave.
I'm proud of myself.
I am proud of you.
Thank you.
So, speaking of nostalgia and toys that we had when we were kids, it's a perfect segue into our holiday topic. So, welcome to the Ghosts of Christmas Past.
Yes.
So I actually struggled with this a little bit. I have a couple of things.
As it was my idea, I did not.
I had a couple of things going against me. One, first and foremost, Christmas and my birthday are a month apart. So I have a very hard time remembering what I got on Christmas versus what I got on my birthday for the larger part of my childhood. So much so that I actually sent out a text message to both Mom and Dad.
Really?
And I said, hey, do you guys remember me being particularly excited about a gift or something, you know, a Christmas gift? Or like, was there something that was really hard for you guys to find that you remembered? And the funny thing is, so again, there's an age gap between Dave and I, just like 7 years.
It is exactly 7 years.
it was funny because both Mom and Dad were like, you wanted that Game Boy. and the original Nintendo. It's like, nope, that was Dave.
Game Boy came out, I think I got it after my birthday.
And then, like, we started going through things, and they were like, yeah, we always remember that you wanted wrestlers and Batman figures.
That's accurate.
And then Mom goes, yeah, you wanted that thing with, like, the different parts where you put it together and it makes a big robot. I was like, Power Rangers. She was like, no, I think it was Voltron.
Nope, that was her other son.
Nope, that was Dave. glad you guys remember me. But no, eventually, the conversation I had with Mom is actually how I got to mine. So I'm gonna...
Yeah, Game Boy was a summer thing, so I definitely bought that on my own.
So I am going to say, since it was your topic, you go first.
Okay. So for me, there's a lot, and there's going to be kind of crossover down the road with, you know, maybe starting lineups or things like that. But I'm going to go with one of the first big ones for me. And emphasis on the word big, because they are large figures. And that would be going back and getting a whole bunch of the early series LJN, WWF, WWE figures. I think they were Wrestling Superstars was the line's name. And I mean, the cool part with those was, of course, they were the huge figure. They had the card on the back that you could cut out, and it had the stats for each wrestler. You had the poster that was in it, which A, I wish I kept them, but B, I wish I didn't hang them up on my wall, because they fetch a pretty penny these days.
Yeah, with all the blue tack.
Yeah. with, like, you know, fun tack oil stains on them. They were great figures, because even though they didn't move, they played well, because you could do wrestling moves no matter what position they were in. Like, body slams were always easy. You could always drop kick people. Like, you could have a reasonable facsimile thereof of any wrestling match, with those figures.
Yeah, and they talked about that too. You know, we mentioned it a little bit on the Toys That Made Us episode, but you know, they that was a conscious decision when they were designing them to place them in poses that could stand, but also
were wrestling conducive.
Yeah.
And there were managers, like, I remember as a kid just flipping out over managers. I got Bobby Heenan, I got Jimmy Hart.
I remember, like, the Jimmy Hart one.
Yeah. And, like, they were bad guys, so they weren't, like, characters I inherently loved, but I was just excited because I could play, I think the syndicated show was Championship Wrestling that was on Channel 9, and then, you know, Primetime and all that stuff in WrestleMania, so I could, like, make my own WrestleMania, or, well, at the time, that was really it. There was WrestleMania, so.
Now, those figures were single carded. I remember how, like, seeing pictures, and I know just from context how they were packaged. Do you remember how they were wrapped for you? Like, did anyone try to, like, fool you over, like, throwing two in a Macy's box?
I mean, you couldn't.
They were so big.
Yeah, and they were clumsy if you tried to put two of them together.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just, like, large wrapped single carded figures. The ones that were actually interesting were the tag team two packs. I think as a two pack, I only got one proper two pack, and that was the Killer Bees. And they came with, so originally the only title belt you got was with Hulk Hogan. You got the, up until 1984, when he won the world title, you got that belt. So I think of it as like the Bob Backlund title, Iron Sheik title, because Hogan didn't have it for a long time. Then he had the next one. But you got that title. With the tag teams, they came with a brown version of that, which was not the tag team title.
Hmm.
You just got a brown version of the world title, which was weird. But and eventually, when I broke my regular world title, the brown one became the next world title.
Now, did you get the ring with them as well?
I know I got the ring. It probably was a Christmas gift as well.
Because that thing was huge.
That thing was big, and it wound up becoming the initial Jax rings, which was weird because they did not scale. And
they looked like kids in there.
Yeah, it was. The other thing too is I got the original Impale ring, the Impaler ring, before it got recalled and got those caps put on it, which you saw on the Jax rings.
Yep.
Because some kid got hurt really bad falling on it.
the Impaler ring.
Yeah.
And I remember too, by the time we were playing with it with the Jax figures, it had like duct tape in the middle.
Because the middle was all fucked up. I'd break it. Yeah.
I mean, those guys, you slam them in the middle hard enough, they're going straight through.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember we were constantly like duct tape. It looked like a ring in like a boxing training academy. You know, like the ring that's there to use.
It looked like a taped up indie ring.
Yeah, those were fun figures, and they lasted.
And the ropes would always get like droopy, so you had like you just keep winding them.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, like at one corner, you'd have just this ridiculously kind of knotted up rope.
Yep, that could, at that point could never come off. The only way that's coming off is if you got scissors.
If you cut it off, and the Hasbro rings did that too. Any rope like that did it.
Yeah, because I mean, all of those, for anybody that has ever been in a wrestling ring, even at like an indie show or anything, those ropes really do not give. They have no give to them.
I almost hurt myself real bad getting in one.
They hurt. Like if you ever go to a small indie show in like a gymnasium or like a YMCA, like one of those real local ones, like sometimes you'll get ones with like you know, like legends that come around and do a show like that. If you have the opportunity to, which a lot of times they don't care. Sometimes the photo ops are even in the ring.
Yeah, usually they'll do like an intermission photo op with whoever the big headliner is.
Yeah, I cannot recommend more to you to do two things. If they let you get in the ring and just press up against the ropes, like don't run into them, just lean on them and like press into them and feel how firm they are, and then just like fall on your ass on the ring.
I don't know if they'll let you do that.
But if time, space, and allowance is there, because it will give you an appreciation for what you see on TV. Like
even
it's
if you
crazy,
even if you get in the ring for the photo op and you step foot on it, you'll realize that it's not what you think it is.
So when with the toy rings and everything, those basically like They're basically like shoelaces, around the rubber.
They're big rubber bands.
Yeah. they're springy, and like they're meant for you to, pull the figure back against the ropes and kind of give them a little bit of a launch.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just not conducive for those ropes to last very long.
No. And then I'm sure some of them dry rotted and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So for me, it was those LJN figures. They were awesome. They still are awesome. I would collect them if they were not so expensive.
Well, I'm sure you still have a bunch of them.
I probably do. I definitely garage sailed a bunch. You might have done it on my behalf at one point, but mine were also so beat up, like so played with, that it didn't matter.
I always liked you had George the Animal Steel, right?
I did.
Yeah, he was always one of my favorites because he had
a
green
lot of
tongue.
Them. Yeah, I had a lot of them. I never had all of them. Like, I never had the British Bulldogs, and I never had some of the later ones, but I had the vast majority of them.
And I don't remember, did they scale with each other? Like, was Andre bigger than everybody?
In theory.
Like, a little bit?
A little bit.
Or did they
bit.
Just make him more crouched?
Andre was slightly bigger, but in the grand scheme of things, everybody was roughly the same size.
I remember them enough, like if I close my eyes and really think about it, like I can remember like holding them, but when I was playing with them, they were so big.
They were monstrous at the time for you.
Like I almost couldn't, like didn't have the faculties to like maneuver them. I was so tiny when I was playing with them. being so I cracked mom in the face with one time unintentionally.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, those were cool figures. Did they have any other like accessories other than the ring?
There was a steel cage, which I never had.
Wow.
It was the big blue cage. It was that was really hard to find. But that was really the accessory.
Gotcha.
It was just the figures.
Were there any that like you remembered you really wanted and never got? Like
British Bulldogs.
British Bulldogs. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, those are super cool figures. My Christmas memory, I'm also going big, but in kind of a different way. So the figures for this were the standard 4-inch, you know, 5-inch figures. Outside of Star Wars and eventually the Jax, you know, wrestling figures, my other big thing was Batman. Loved Batman. I remember that as a kid, everything Batman. I remember my earliest memory of the Batman figures was actually the Batman Returns figures, the Michael Keaton ones.
Not the original movie? The Toy Biz ones?
You know, I think you had those.
You had them too.
But I remember playing with them, but I don't remember them being new for me. Like, I remember, like, I can remember the box art for, like, the penguin, the
penguin was the superhero's penguin.
Yeah, was the superhero's penguin painted black, white, and red.
You, I will say this, you did have them new.
Okay. But, Batman, regardless, I remember loving the Batman figures, you know, watching the cartoons and when Batman Returns came out, I remember that being, like, you know, a really big deal. But by the time Batman Forever came out, that was like toy height for me. And I remember that line of Batman toys was crazy. There was always really cool, like I always wanted the Batman that was in the movie. So like always wanted the one that looked like the Batman in the movie, not the one with like the purple and yellow, like, you know, pop out wings and stuff like that.
Like when like there was a green Batman.
Yeah.
And it was like, what is he doing? I don't know.
It's always like, you know, like mountain Batman and like Arctic Batman.
Yeah.
And it's cool because, you know, it's a way to sell alternate colors. And sometimes some of them had like a loose comic connection.
The coolest one, I remember there was one that was like a dark blue and charcoal one. And that was like, I think that was a Batman Returns one.
Yep.
And I was like, all right, I want that one.
Yeah, because it was Michael Keaton wearing a comic book Batman outfit,
yeah,
which was awesome. But the Batman Forever line, that was when they started to do a really great job of nailing likenesses like properly in that scale. Like the Tommy Lee Jones Two-Face looked like Tommy Lee Jones. The Jim Carrey Riddler looked like him. The Val Kilmer like face was good. The Chris O'Donnell face was good. They were all there. But the coolest thing about that was the Batcave. So the Batcave for that year, and this was a Christmas gift. This is the conversation I had with our mom, and thank you, Tree. she remembered me getting this Batcave, the Batmobile, and like a slew of figures that came with it. So it must have just been like the Christmas of Batman. It was a three-tiered cave system. Uh-huh. So it was these three platforms that looked like cliffs almost, and they had flat platforms, and they connected. The bottom one was lower than the middle one, and then the higher one was higher than that, but they connected with a zip line, so you could go all the way from the top of the top one to the bottom.
Yep.
And the bottom one had the rotating pedestal on it
for the car,
to put the Batmobile on it. And that Batmobile in that Batman Forever movie, though, you know, now you look at it, it looks kind of silly. But like at the time, that was the coolest Batmobile.
That the toy for that Batmobile was really fun.
And when you rolled it, it had the little sparker in it. So
yeah.
Like the little engine made color. It was just that
the light.
Mm-hmm. It had an elevator that what you could do is you could put Bruce Wayne in the bottom of the elevator. And when you pulled it up and twisted it, you could have Batman in the top of the elevator. So you could put Bruce Wayne in the bottom, pull up the elevator, and as you twisted it to pull it up, it revealed that Batman was in there. So like he mm-hmm. could change while he was, you know, going into the Batcave. There was this whole it had these three pegs, and we'll post pictures of all the stuff that we're talking about, but it had these pegs, and it was the whole wall of computer systems that he had. It was just it was the Batcave, and it was massive. I mean, yeah. It took up so much space. But the thing that was really cool about it too was the platforms all opened, so there was storage, so you could keep all of the Batman figures in the cave, like in the cave part.
You could, but that's not what the storage was for. The only reason I know this is because I put it together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was storage for itself.
Oh. So it was like collapsible, like what do you call those Russian dolls?
Yeah, it was like, you know, think of it like paint buckets.
Yeah.
You put the big one, the medium one, and the big one, and then the small one and the medium one, and that's how you stored it.
Ah, yeah, we never got that far with it. Once that thing kind of went up, it stayed up.
Yeah.
And I would just kind of drag it around, like disconnect the two pieces for the zip line and just move it to a new location.
Yeah, that was a cool Batcave. I remember also putting together your Batman Returns Batcave, or maybe it was the Batman and Robin Batcave where it was just the two-sided.
No, that was also, I think that was also Batman Forever. That, because there was like the deluxe Batcave, and then there was like the one that was just like the computer console.
It was the computer console and then the little kind of like the flippy door,
yep.
Like the doggy door.
Yep.
Or no, that might have been Batman and Robin.
Maybe. No, I didn't have a lot of toys from Batman and Robin.
Then it was Batman Returns and Batman Forever. But
I know I had two different Batcaves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were definitely different movies.
Yeah. Because the Batman, I remember, I don't think the Michael Keaton came with the one Batcave, but I remember it was a really cool toy because it was Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne, and he had this like striped t-shirt on, but his head would push in. Like you could push in his head and clip the cowl onto the top of it.
Yes, because he came with the costume that you could clip onto him, the suit.
Yep. And you'd clip on the gauntlets and the boots and the mm-hmm. cape, but the head, instead of like fitting over his face, pushed his head in almost like one of those like a Power Rangers, but like his head actually would go inside of his chest, so that way the Batman head could clip on with the cape on it.
Yeah,
that was a cool figure. But yeah, that Batcave was phenomenal, and I got mileage out of that thing because they never made another Batcave that was as cool as that, and it became the Batcave for the Batman the Animated Series figures. It became the Batcave for all of the fun crossover play that I used to have where, you know, Spider-Man would come and help in Gotham City. I remember one time I had Venom and Carnage take over the Batcave. You know, it's just the way that it was. Everything was in the same scale, you know, so it was great playing with those figures together. But I as soon as Mom said that, I actually could remember opening that box and flipping the fuck out
mm-hmm.
because that also had like, I just remember going into stores and seeing it, and was one of those toys that seemed like it was too much, it was too big, it was too expensive, it was never going to happen.
Yeah.
And on Christmas morning, boom, it was there, and the Batmobile with it. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was probably like a solid $100 toy back in the day. Like easy. that would have cost like a Nintendo.
Easy. I mean, there were so many moving. There weren't any electronics with it, but there were so many moving parts that it was a killer toy. And like I said, that was one I remember when I sold that at a garage sale.
Oh,
so I originally had it just kind of sitting in a. You know, like one of those Tupperware bins, you know, when I was in college.
Not sitting in itself.
Not stored the way that it was intended. And nobody knew what it was. So the garage sale kept going and going and going. And finally, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put this thing together so people could see what it is. Literally the moment that I put it together, a guy walked by and bought two things for me. He bought the Batcave, and he bought the entire bin of Jax figures that I had out.
Yeah.
Josh Kondik, I don't know what you're up to these days, but hope you're still enjoying the wrestlers in the Batcave. But yeah, so I mean, I think this is a fun way to go about looking through the history of you know, us and stuff on Christmas. It would be awesome. I know they exist in some capacity. I know Dad loved filming Christmas mornings. Those VHSs have to be somewhere.
I'm good with them staying wherever they are.
Well, if I find one that has me in it and it doesn't prominently feature Dave,
I'll be in it regardless. So
we'll pre-screen it. We'll see if we can find anything that's worth sharing. That's not gonna that we don't mind having on the internet. But yeah. I don't even know where those tapes are, to be perfectly honest.
I was gonna say you probably had them last, so.
But you know, in terms of Christmas stuff, we would love to hear from you guys, from our listeners. You know, what's your, you know, share your favorite Christmas memory with us. You know, if it's on, you know, we'll leave a post up, you know, on our Instagram, and you know, stop by and share your favorite holiday memory, your favorite toy. You know, maybe it was a gift that you got for somebody. You know, maybe you got a, you know, a super hard to find toy for, you know, a loved one, and you know, you made their Christmas with it. We'd love to hear your stories, as usual.
Yeah,
but you know, with that, this is our last episode for 2019.
Wow, it's the last one of the decade.
Yeah, wow.
It's also only I think the ninth.
I don't know. I lost count
of the decade. So you know, we're new.
But, you know, going into 2020, you know, just a quick thank you for all of you that listen to us, you know, every other week. You know, we love, you know, it's just the interactions that we were getting on our Instagram, and, you know, the nice comments that you guys leave on the reviews and everything. It's great to see that people are enjoying listening to us. You know,
yeah,
it's really nice. And, you know, going into 2020, we're gonna keep doing it, and we're gonna keep giving you more stuff, and you know, we have some really cool guests planned and interviews planned,
and thank you to everyone who's contributed thus far.
Yes,
we can name everyone now.
Yeah, go ahead. Joe Azari, hit, you know, in the show notes we always include a link to his stuff. His voice work is incredible. He's also an incredible artist. Check out his Instagram page, and check out all the cool stuff that he's up to.
Thank you to Dave from Calling All Creeps podcast.
Yep, and Zap Comics. Thank you for coming on for our Halloween episode, which at the time of this recording has been our most popular episode to date, which was a lot of fun to do. Thank you to Heather Antos being our first interview guest. It was so awesome having her, and you know, hopefully we'll get her back on again someday. With the two of us.
Yeah. Thank you again to Yuma for being our second interview. He's out in outer space somewhere, so I don't know if he'll ever stop in, but we'll probably do another interview again at some point.
I heard he had a very successful landing in China.
Yeah.
So that was, we're excited to see that too. And keep an eye out for him. You know,
Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and Bar Wrestling.
Yeah,
the two spots he's in the most.
And I think you can find, if Championship Wrestling from Hollywood doesn't air in your area, I was just looking it up, you can subscribe to it on
Fight,
F-I-T-E.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we have so much cool stuff planned for 2020.
Who else do we have? Well, thank you to, of course, Matt Cardona again.
Oh,
for this
yes,
week.
Yes.
At Major WF Pod.
Yeah. And you might know him as you know, as Zack Ryder from the WWE.
Yep. At Zack Ryder.
And his partner in
Brian
crime.
Myers.
Yep, Brian Myers, Kurt Hawkins. Yeah.
I feel like we're forgetting people.
Are we? I don't think we are. I think we got everybody.
Okay.
I think so. Thank you.
It's mostly been us.
Thank you to Heather's boyfriend.
Yeah, sure. We can thank him now in advance for next year.
Yeah, for next year. He'll be on early
next
year. Yeah. Yep.
It's coming.
But with that, have a happy holiday. Have a happy new year.
Oh, thank you to Nonproductive.
Oh, yeah,
of course.
Oh, of course. Yeah, thank you to Frank and James and, you know, and all the guys at Nonproductive. You know, we're so happy to be a part of their network.
And all our friends and family that have listened and given advice and given their thoughts, because it's kind of what's made the show change over this short time. So thank you.
Yep. Dave, have a happy new year.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
We'll see you in 2020.
Yep. See you next decade.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a Nonproductive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Nonproductive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.